My name is Josh Habman. I'm the executive pastor here at Grace. And like I said before, we are glad that you are with us today. And I just want to say a welcome and a thank you to all those who are sitting out in the foyer this afternoon. We are glad that you are with us also. And sorry that you have to be in the foyer today, but there is no room in the inn, unfortunately. So we are glad that we were able to set up some other chairs. The upside is they get to the cookies first after the service. Want to let you know about a giving opportunity. Every Christmas at Grace, we invite you all to give a gift to somebody who is in need. And we have decided to highlight our friends, our brothers and sisters in Haiti this year. If you have a phone and you scan QR codes, there's a QR code you can scan, find out more. But if you don't do that, and somebody has already approached me and said, I don't do that, graceb3.org/gifts is another way you can get there, or you can write a check to Worldwide Village. And you can ask me about that after the service, too. But we're giving to Haiti because Haiti is in crisis. If you've followed the news at all over the last year, you know that they've basically been without a formal government now for about a year. And there's armed gangs roaming the country and driving people out of homes. And so this is a way that we can provide. Our partner in country, Worldwide Village, is able to safely provide money and food and clothing, school even for some of the kids. So we want to just support and encourage them at Christmas. This is not a gift for our church. This is a gift for those folks in need. If you're able to do that, we encourage you to consider doing that. It is Advent series. It is Advent season. We are at the last Sunday, or not last Sunday, the last day of Advent, and it is Christmas Eve, and we are talking about Jesus coming. And it is Christmas time, and it's worth asking, what is this thing that we do every year? Where does this come from? For the first 300 years of the church, about, Christians actually didn't celebrate Christmas in the way that we think. They recognized that Jesus was born, and that was important, obviously. But there were far more celebrations of the resurrection for the first part of the church history. And then for about the last 1,700 years, we've celebrated Christmas. And we all have some idea at this point of what Christmas means, about what it's about. We've been to services like this. We've celebrated with our friends and with our family. But it's important to focus on what Christmas is, not just what it has been, but what it is. And it is absolutely about Jesus being born, both God and man. We're going to talk about that this afternoon. He came as a human, but he's absolutely God. And this is what Scripture teaches. And I just want to take a minute to say that if you want to read more about that, if this is something that you want to know more about, you hear people say these things, read these verses, we have Bibles in the back. You're always welcome to those. Take one with you. That's what they're there for. You can take it home, read it. We'd much rather have an empty cart with no Bibles, and you all have them in your homes, than us have a full cart of Bibles. So please do read about the Lord. It's also a community celebration. You're all here today because you know this. You know that part of what Christmas is all about is gathering with people to celebrate this God who became man and who is God and King. And ultimately, therefore, it's an opportunity to know God better. So that's what we're going to do just briefly today. We're going to talk about who this gift is. Here's the passage. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then the passage goes on to talk about what kind of king he is, saying, of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, he's going to reign to establish it, to uphold it with justice, with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This passage talks about the gift. Christmas is about gift giving as much as it's about anything else. And we are at church, so who do you suppose the gift is? Anybody? Jesus. It's not a hard question. It's the right answer. Jesus is the gift. We're going to talk about Jesus this afternoon, about the giver of the gift, God the Father, and the glory that he has in store for us. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your Son. Thank you for this good gift, which is better than any gift we would choose for ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for providing what we need, not just what we want, not just what we like, but giving us hope, redemption, salvation, for giving us what we need in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. Help us to know you better. I pray it in your name. Amen. It said Jesus is a gift. The passage says, "For to us a child is born." Isaiah is the prophet who is saying these words. And he's saying these words about 700 years before Jesus is born. So it's a long wait. It's a long wait to see this prophecy fulfilled. But we're supposed to know that it is, in fact, a person, a human, that we should be waiting for. A child born and a son given. But not just any child. Some of you have waited for children. Some of you have had fertility trouble. You've tried to have children. Maybe you ended up adopting because you couldn't have a child. Some of you have never had children, and you don't know what it's like to wait in this way, but you do know what it's like to long for someone, because everybody needs people. We all are designed to have people that we grow close to, that we have a relationship with. And there is a specific person that is better than all others, Jesus, not just because he was born as a human, but because he's born God. Look at the titles that Isaiah gives him: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This Jesus who is born is both man and God. And this is what makes him the best possible gift, because as a man, he has exactly a body like ours, needs like ours, trouble like ours. What do I mean by that? The scripture says that Jesus got hungry, that he got tired, that he had to sleep, that he had to take time away. How many of you are already looking forward to time away? You haven't even done the time together yet, and you're already looking forward to time away. Jesus needed that. We need that. He is like us in those ways. He had family trouble like ours. You guys have family trouble, right? You're here together with family. You know what I'm talking about. Jesus had worse family trouble. What kind? Well, his mother and his brothers, his sisters, didn't necessarily believe that he was who he says he was. They thought he was crazy. His brother James, who became a leader in the Christian church, did not believe that Jesus was who he says he was until after he had died and rose again. So his whole life, right? The whole 33, 34 years, Jesus is walking on the earth and James is there. He's looking at him and saying, you're not right in the head, buddy. There's something wrong with you. That's family trouble. What about political trouble? How many of you are looking forward to those political conversations this Christmas? Anybody? Nobody is, right? Unless you're convinced that you're right, and then you're always looking forward to those conversations. Jesus had political trouble on the scale of the rulers trying to kill him. Right? So he knew trouble. But here's what makes him the best gift, is that he was tempted in the ways that we're tempted, and yet he was triumphant. Jesus was not just a good example, but he was the way, the truth, and the life. So this is what makes Jesus the best gift, the best possible gift. He identifies with us. He says, I know what it's like. I'm going to live the life that you're living, and understand that I see that you're going to die. I understand that I see that you are frail and that you are weak. And so I want to give you a better way. I'm going to live it. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to die on your behalf. That's the gift. It is the best possible gift. And now we need to talk about the giver. God the Father gives us the Son. What does this passage say about him? It says that he has zeal, excitement. It says that he has energy and enthusiasm to do something. What is it? He wants to increase government for Jesus, peace through Jesus with no end. He wants to fulfill prophecy, seat him on the throne of David. He wants to establish and uphold justice and righteousness. God the Father is the best kind of gift giver because he gives the best gift. All good and perfect gifts come from him. And he says, you know what? Not only am I going to give you the best gift, I'm going to do it enthusiastically. I'm going to do it with energy, with enthusiasm. I'm going to make sure that you know exactly this, that even though you sin, even though you walk away from me, even though you choose death, I'm going to give you an opportunity for life. And this is what it looks like to understand that God. If you look at Isaiah 8 and 9, the giver can seem harsh. He can seem hard because he judges and he rules and he offends. Right? We don't want to hear about the wrong that we've done. We don't want to hear the fact that we've fallen short, but we know we do. We know it perhaps even today. You got ready to come here. You lost your temper with people. You weren't as early as you wanted to be. Or maybe you weren't late enough to miss. I don't know what it is. But you know that you fall short, and it offends us to hear about our sin. We don't want to hear about it. We don't like it. We don't like it when people tell us that we're wrong. But here's how God is the best giver of the best gifts. Because while it's true that he does those things, he judges and he rules and he reminds us that we fall short. Scripture also tells us that he's a sanctuary, the source of salvation, and that the good gift he wants to give us, the ruler in Jesus that he wants to give us, is a wonderful counselor, a mighty God who is an everlasting Father and a Prince of Peace. So you have to balance those. He says, you sinned, you've fallen short of my glory, but also know this, that if you call on my name, if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. That doesn't require you to do any work. Repent and believe that Jesus can save you from your sins, and he will. And so that's what the good Father does. He gives us his Son, and he's better than that. It goes beyond that. Let me explain. Christmas is just the beginning. Jesus and his life are a gift. Don't misunderstand me. It is good that we have Jesus, that we can look at his life, that we can look at his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and we can see that he's provided a way for us. But also we get his leadership, his lordship. How many of you would choose your boss right now to be the Lord of the universe? Anybody? Anybody have a boss right now that thinks that they're Lord of the universe? Nobody would choose their boss, right? I'm a boss here at Grace Community Church. I have people to report to me. They do not want me as Lord of the universe. No human ruler is good in that way, but Jesus is. And we can have him for our leader and Lord. These are the greatest gifts. Don't misunderstand me, but God is better. He goes beyond that. He gives us more. Here's what he gives us. He gives us true justice. The justice that we would seek for ourselves usually makes sure that we get what's right for us, but not necessarily for everybody else. And God the Father says, no, I want there to be true justice, and so I'm going to send my Son, and I'm going to die on your behalf, and then I'm going to make sure that everything is made right. Everything is made new. And so we get true justice. And everyone who's in Christ will reign with him forever. We get eternal salvation. The best good thing that we can get for ourselves lasts a couple of years, right? Maybe a lifetime. When we see lifetime warranty on a product, we always laugh, right? Because we know it's never going to last that long, ever. But imagine a warranty that goes on into eternity. Security forever and ever. C.S. Lewis, many of you know, wrote a book series called The Chronicles of Narnia. In the last book, someone is describing heaven. And he says it's like the term or the semester is over and the holidays have begun. How many of you know that feeling? You can imagine yourself waking up on the first day of Christmas vacation or summer vacation. And you know you're free, right? No one's going to make you go to school anymore. It's amazing. Sorry, teachers. It's the way it is. Just kidding. The teachers actually feel it more. They know. They understand. Imagine that, but it's sin and it's death and it's sorrow that you're letting go of. You're waking up from a dream, and not a dream that you've chosen for yourself, but the dream that's confusing and weird and strange and things are happening that you can't control, right? You're waking up from that dream to find out that you are in real life, and that this is the morning and this is the first best day of forever. This is what Jesus gives us. This is what God the Father gives us through Jesus, is forever. So this Christmas, I want you to think about this, because like I said, the gifts that you give either tonight or tomorrow, nobody's going to really wait for the 26th, are they? Anybody waiting for gifts? Some of you have like 17 family Christmases planned and you'll be giving gifts into February, I know. But most of you are going to open gifts, right? And they won't last. They won't last. So I want you to hear this afternoon. I want you to hang on to this today, that there is a good and better gift in Jesus, and that he is going to give us even more. And I'm going to read through more of what he's giving us here. And I'm going to ask you to read it with me in a few minutes. But let's talk about what he's giving us. It says in Revelation 21, this is the end of the Bible, right? This is the one of the last chapters, end of the Bible. This is what we are told by John. He sees a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. The sea is no more. He sees the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And he hears a voice saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man." You guys know that was always the plan, right? Go back to the very beginning of the Bible. You're reading Genesis. God made man in his own image. Man and woman, he created them to bear his image. And he put them in this garden, Garden of Eden. Everything was very good. That was the plan from the beginning, that God and mankind would live together perfectly. And so he's going to restore that. And he will dwell with them, it says in verse 3. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And he'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. Before we get to that last verse, I need to address, I know some of you don't like Christmas. It's not because you don't like Christmas music or you don't like Christmas decorations. It's just hard for you. It's hard for you because you never had a family that loved well. It's hard for you because the people that you loved and have always celebrated Christmas with aren't here anymore. It's hard for you because you don't like being around people. Know that the gift that Jesus gives is salvation, and it is eternal salvation. And also that he wants this for you. No more pain, no more mourning, no more crying. It's not just saved out of death. It is saved out of death, but it's saved unto life forever and ever. So I want us to think about that. I want us to think about that as we go out from this place today, as you guys go over to the gym, you have cookies, you spend time together, take pictures with your family, go home tonight, spend time with your family. Tell each other about the good gifts that God has given you. Tell each other about how Jesus has saved you. And if you don't know Jesus, if he hasn't saved you, talk to us before you leave, because we want to give you the greatest gift ever. If you're able, I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to read this passage together. This will be our closing today. We're going to read about this new heaven and this new earth as a reminder to us that not only is Jesus provided himself the greatest gift, but that he's giving us even greater things beyond that. Please read with me. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.' And he who is seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" Pray with me. Lord Jesus, please make all things new soon. God, we are here to celebrate. We are here to praise your name and enjoy each other's company, but we feel sin. We feel the burden of evil and destruction in this world, and we long for restoration, for new life, for joy, for hope. And so we are just so excited, Lord, that you have come as our gift. Be real to us today. Be real to these folks as they go out from this place, that they might know you and love you. Make all things new in their heart and in their lives today. I pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Merry Christmas. Go in grace.